Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
And welcome, everybody. Yeah, we're locked and loaded today, folks. No, I'm not referring to President Trump's little old tweet regarding the apparent drone attack by somebody on those Saudi oil fields. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about stuff happening in Oregon. In addition to, there's a reason why lawyers have such a low, or thought of so poorly, have such a low opinion in the public's eyes. And one only has to look at the defense of two Democrat lawyers in an op-ed piece defending Misha Isaac. A lot to say about that. The Oregon Public Records Council met. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about yours truly, your humble radio talk show host. Yes, being interviewed by Channel 2 News and the news clip about all of that that was on Friday evening. But I got to ask you this question. Who said we are all God in drag? Now, let me say that again. So those of you who are driving or drinking a cup of coffee, because this is a show called Political Coffee, I didn't want you to spit it up or drive off the road when I said that. I'm quoting someone, and I want you to tell me who said, quote, we are all God in drag, unquote. There's a rot in America. And it is celebrated by some. That has led us to someone of some renown saying, quote, we are all God in drag, unquote. Who is that person? Also, there are Oregon schools in response to a law passed in this last legislative session who are rolling out a Native American curriculum. By law, they're going to have to start teaching about Native Americans. And guess who is doing this? Oregon Department of Education. Does that inspire confidence in you, given some of their, shall we say, big faux pas in the last few years? It's a little worrisome, to put it mildly, because it's never been done before, and teachers don't know what to think. And if you're a teacher in public schools, I mean, I'm quite serious, you're looking for some guidance here, because this is more than just a little sensitive. This is the absolute opportunity for a historically inaccurate, politically correct opportunity of, well, influencing young minds. And I go back to a conversation I had with a friend that relates to this, because this is about public education's ability to shape the thinking of people for the rest of their lives. This friend of mine said to me that his daughter had married a communist. Now, I know his daughter well, and this friend of mine is a conservative, had married a communist, and he gave me examples of what her daughter's young husband was posting, especially on 9/11, talking about how sad it was that all these Americans were killed, but, you know, wondering about how many people Americans had killed. A stunning thing. That is a product of likely his home life, this person, but certainly the educational establishment. So when it comes to teaching, in accordance to Oregon law, a ethnically and politically correct history of Native American, and I'm not against this, by the way. In fact, I think it's appropriate. But what I am against is the politicization of it. And I don't have any confidence that that will not happen, given who our governor is and given the bent of the people that work for the governor in the Department of Education, who many of them are good bureaucrats, but they have to do what the boss says. And if the boss tells the head of the Department of Education, whom I have roundly criticized, Colt Gill, for saying that there's been this disinvestment in public education, remember what did I tell you? I said it was a lie, and it is. All you have to do is look year over year, every year over year over year, at the amount of money that the legislature has continued to increase in public education, K-12 specifically, and you will see it's a lie. Now they will qualify that, and they'll say, well, you know, that's not how much we should be spending. Huh? Based on what? Oh, based on the quality education model, which was a sad chapter of the life of the late former Speaker of the House and Republican Lynn Lundquist. It was his idea. Now, Lynn was a moderate Republican mint farmer from Powell Butte. We're in Central Oregon. I knew him. I served with him. And I will tell you that this was a huge mistake that he made. Because what it did is it brought together, it was all a game, folks. It was just to say, basically, we got to spend more money on education. And it said, well, if we do that, we're going to get better outcomes. We're going to increase scores, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And it all, of course, led to people making the excuse that, yeah, we can spend more money on education, and that was the basis of the Oregon sales tax brought to you by Democrats. And actually, the reality was it isn't going to help at all because it will continue to be politicized. In Oregon, what do we teach? We teach race, recycling, reproduction, rather than reading, writing, and arithmetic. So, this is a show called Political Coffee. Welcome to the beginning of the week. It's Monday. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line if you want to call and comment on anything that I'm talking about today. Because I value what you think. That's why I want to hear from you. 503-589-1220. Emails always to jeff@1220.am. jeff@1220.am. Now, on Friday, after I got off the show, we got a phone call from Bob High of Channel 2 News. He's a longtime reporter there. Some of you may have known him. And I know Bob just from my years, of course, when I served in the Oregon House of Representatives, but also because his dad was a World War II combat veteran who is a friend of my friend who called the show last week, Vern Staley. Vern is a 95-year-old combat veteran of World War II in the European theater. He was a medic there. I've had him on the show a number of times. He called last week. He's an incredible guy who gives me hope that you can live your life into your later years and do it well and do it with gusto, because he still does. Vern drives. He was in Europe last year visiting some of the villages that they liberated. So Bob called me last week. And he said, hey, are you around? We'd like to get some comments on your complaint that you filed against Misha Isaac. So I happened to be heading up north. And so we met up, and he did a short interview with me. And it made Channel 2 News. In this relations to Friday, the Oregon Public Records Council was meeting in an emergency meeting to talk about Ginger McCall's resignation. And what they advocated for was, well, what we all understood, what the legislature clearly said, was to be the case that the Oregon Public Records Council and the advocate, the public employee hired for that position, was to be independent, was to be someone who was going to look at the examples of how government agencies in Oregon respond to yours and my right under Oregon law to ask for certain public records. We all knew that that was the case. It was clearly stated, if you go back to the records of when they passed this legislation, although there are some legislators like former State Representative Julie Parrish who voted against this bill. And she did so because she was worried that it did give too much power to the governor. So the Oregon Public Records Advocate and the council met, And this is a Statesman Journal article here, and it says, Oregon Public Records Advisory Council began laying the groundwork Friday for the state's next public records advocate to be as independent as possible. Ginger McCall, Oregon's first public records advocate, submitted her resignation a week ago and said Monday that Governor Kate Brown's office had abused its authority and pushed her to secretly work for the governor's interest instead of public interest on bills. Now, it's more than just bills, folks. It is the idea that if, and by the way, there is an, before we go any further, there's an editorial from the 13th by the Oregonian editorial board again saying Brown's silence compounds the assault on transparency. Now, remember that I complained last week. You may have heard me, the Andrew Selsky AP story that read more like an editorial than it did an actual news report. And I actually mentioned this to Bob High when after we had our little interview at Channel 2 News on Friday. And I said, you know, I felt this was entirely inappropriate for a reporter to use language that he used because it really was like this headline. Now, it's one thing to be an editorial, okay? That's what you expect editors to do, add in political commentary. It is not right for a reporter to do that. And one of the things that I've always appreciated about some of the professional reporters out there, and one of them being Bob High, and there are others, is that they take their profession seriously. And they don't like it any more than I or you do when a reporter enters into this business of injecting their personal biases. In an editorial, it's fine. In using the words here in this headline, Brown's silence compounds the assault on transparency. That's appropriate for an editorial. It is not appropriate for a supposedly unbiased news story that does both. So the Oregon Public Records Advocate and the council, the advisory council, met. They said, we think the legislature should make it very clear with additional legislation that this is to be wholly independent. And this person, the advocate, not work for, quote unquote, the executive branch. Needs to work for the council. Now, there is precedence for this, and I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I think this is the right thing. However, the reason that Kate Brown is silent on this, folks, and this is what the, well, maybe the editorial board knows this, but I'll tell you the real reason why she's silent on it. Because she is busy doing damage control quietly behind the scenes, like with this op-ed piece by two of the lawyers that used to work with Misha Isaac, who say he's going to be a great judge. He's never been unethical. And they all also assert something about attorney-client privilege that I think is completely inappropriate in this circumstance. We'll get into that and more. Your phone calls, 503-589-1220. When we come back at 6:20 in the morning, you're listening to Political Talk. Don't. No, that's not poverty.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. By the way, thanks to Avis, one of our faithful listeners, who sent me a great email that has the link to the Channel 2 news story with yours truly being interviewed by reporter Bob High. About this whole sordid, really stinky, smelly affair that Governor Kate Brown has remained silent on. Now, there's two reasons that she's doing this. I said to you the first one, and that was this opinion piece, working quietly behind the scenes. Folks, by the way, did you see Rick Ocasek from The Cars died? 75. I think he was that old. Oh, that's a bit of 80s history, isn't it? Anyway, so these two lawyers write this this opinion piece because that's what Kate is engaging. It's called damage control, right? I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. This is how it works. Unfortunately, she's just making it worse. Because what happened over the weekend? Former Oregon Supreme Court retired Justice Ed Peterson wrote that he thinks she should rescind the nomination because this whole thing doesn't smell right. And you know why? Because the Oregon Editorial Board talks about it. You see, this whole thing was a scam from the beginning. How so? Well, I'll tell you in a moment. But I want to finish making my second point. The second reason that Kate Brown's silent on this, they are polling it, folks. You can take that to the bank. They're not only polling it, they're focused, and they're trying to figure out how much damage this is doing to Kate while there's a recall petition on. Now, on a side note, when I was talking with Bob High, that's the point I made to him. Now, Bob didn't respond necessarily, as he shouldn't. But to be honest with you, it's what I said, because it's true. Why on earth would you, Kate Brown, get caught in another lie after the scandal breaks? You come out and you say, well, I didn't know anything about it. And then your attorney, through a Freedom of Request Act, public records request in Oregon, which is what this is all about, there's a memo that you were briefed on this months ago. Why would you do this? That was my point to Bob. Why would you do this in the middle of a recall campaign? It doesn't make political sense. Unless, of course, you're just arrogant and you don't care. Maybe that describes the governor's actions. The two reasons why she's silent on this, and it's just making it worse, is they're engaging in damage control and this op-ed piece about Misha Isaac from two of his former lawyer buddies at Perkins Coie. Where does that name ring a bell, by the way? That's the Democrat-leaning law firm that is the center of the whole fake dossier scandal against Trump. Yeah, that bunch. Yeah, these two lawyers work with this guy, and I guess he's uniquely qualified to be an Oregon Appeals Court justice, according to them, because he's always operated with integrity because he was looking out for the client. What? Now, let me tell you something, folks. What a scam this is. If there's a law that needs to be changed, again, the Oregon Public Records Advisory Council said we need to strengthen the law, making the advocate totally independent. I agree 100%. But if there's a law that needs to be changed, here's what it is. If you are a lawyer and you are representing the governor of Oregon, then you should not be a public employee. Because you know how this works, folks? Take Oregon Connections Academy, this wonderful school that I helped found in 2005 that's the largest public online charter school in this state. I hire a lawyer to advise us. He bills, his firm bills Oregon Connections Academy, and we pay the bill. He is not an Oregon Connections Academy employee. Misha Isaac is a state employee. Now, how does that give the governor and Misha Isaac attorney-client privilege? I'm going to talk about something that needs to be changed. That's it. It's a scam, and that's what these two lawyers are alleging in their op-ed. Look, he's just looking out for the interests of his client. Now, I want to just stop and think about that for a moment. So, this is the point that I made in the KE2 interview. It's just pretty right on the mark. Here's a lawyer who's breaking his code of ethics to ask another lawyer to break her professional code of ethics under the Oregon State Bar to be deceptive, to protect another lawyer who just happens to be Governor Kate Brown, who on the one hand is taking a public position that I want to be really transparent, and I support transparency, but on the other hand, very quietly, is apparently asking her employees, in this case Misha Isaac, to do just the opposite and arrange it so that Kate can be the fox guarding the hen house. That's dishonest. And that's what retired Supreme Court Justice Ed Peterson said, this whole thing smells. Because you know what? They kept the resignation, the upcoming resignation, retirement of this appeals court justice quiet. They didn't even open it up. They didn't talk about it. And all of a sudden, the governor just said, hey, I've just appointed one of my staffers to be this particular justice. That's what smells. That's what Oregon Supreme Court retired Justice Ed Peterson was talking about. But these two lawyers think, oh, it's just okay. He was our colleague. He worked. He did exemplary work. He worked hard. What direction Mr. Isaac was given by his client, they write, and I quote from their op-ed, as the general counsel to the governor, is something that he certainly could not, would not disclose, but we cannot imagine a situation where he would act inconsistently with the guidance and the wishes of his client. Given that direction, he would, in our experience, do what he could do for his client within the boundaries of the oath he made to the State Bar of Oregon. So in other words, what they're saying here, they're throwing Kate under the bus. They're saying that this guy did whatever Kate said to do as his client. So Kate, apparently, then, one can only surmise. And by the way, this isn't my words. These are many of the words of the people that are commenting on this, you know, this op-ed. Apparently, Kate Brown is the one that directed them to do this. And that's what these two lawyers are saying. Misha Isaac is a fraud. And the idea that, well, he was only doing what his client said. This guy's a public employee, folks. He shouldn't be working for the governor at all. Certainly should. What do you think? 6:30. Back to work. Some other stuff. Go away.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes before the top of the hour. Thanks for joining us today. It's Monday, the beginning of a great week of talking about politics over a cup of coffee. So there's a reason why lawyers are thought of even lower than politicians. And nothing is, nothing reinforces that more than this op-ed by these two lawyers. They used to work with the governor's legal counsel, Misha Isaac, who say, look, he's just doing what the boss told him. He's an honorable guy. Really? Would an honorable guy ask another lawyer to break their code of ethics by being deceptive? You got to understand, these two lawyers, by the way, work for Perkins Coie. This is a law firm that's well known for being a little bit on the controversial side, given that they're in the center of the fake dossier issue with Donald Trump. The Oregonian editorial board wasn't buying any of it. They hit Brown again for her silence. And I, of course, told you why she's silenced, because she's working behind the scenes to do damage control by doing things like, getting these two lawyers to write an op-ed supporting Misha Isaac so she doesn't have to withdraw his nomination. But they throw her under the bus by saying he was only doing what she told him to do. The other reason, of course, she's polling it to see how bad it's hurting her in the middle of a recall. Now, by the way, that's the piece that made the Channel 2 news on Friday where they interviewed me, because I filed the complaints with the bar and the Judicial Fitness Commission. You guys know that. I told you about that. It was in the news. They did this. I didn't ask them to do it because that wasn't the money quote I wanted. But it's the one they put in there, was saying, hey, you know, Kate Brown knew all about this. And she did. And you know what? Somebody's got to be held accountable. Well, all that did, well, was probably just continue this effort of, even without me saying it, by the fact that they included that in the news story, just means that more and more people were given a reason to go sign recall petitions. By the way, if you want to sign a recall petition, where do you do that? KateBrownRecall.com. KateBrownRecall.com or FlushDownKateBrown.com. You can either one of them or both. Why don't you sign both? Let's hold her accountable. Who said, by the way, we are all God in drag, unquote. Now, I'm going to say something about this because it just exemplifies cultural rot. That is bad news in our country. And we, folks, we have got to push back in a couple of ways. Who said that? We are all God in drag. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. The other thing is this business about teaching a politically correct Native American curriculum in Oregon is now the law. And the story here is an OPB story. No, it isn't. My bad. It is a Eugene Register Guard story. But how they're doing this down in the Cow Creek tribe down in southern Oregon, Roseburg. Do you trust that this is not going to become highly politicized? Do you trust that? All right. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Who said we are all God in drag? This person said, quote, drag is dangerous. Drag is not politically correct. Drag will never be mainstream. He said, and it's a he, there's a superficial aspect of drag that people consider cute. The deeper level, quote, I continue with this story, the deeper level of drag is all about you. You're born naked and the rest is drag. And that's political. It's very punk rock. It's very radical. It's this idea that you are not your body. You're an extension of the power that created the whole universe. That's drag. We are all God in drag. Unquote. Just let that sink in for a moment. It not only is nonsensical, it is gibberish that is difficult to categorize, I think. Other than this is a very sick person. This is also a person that is very well known. In fact, this person is so well known that, guess what? This person was just awarded a Creative Emmy Award. Huh? Yeah, this is the Creative Arts Emmys. You know who said this? RuPaul. Oh, yeah, you've got a show, RuPaul's Drag Race. Seen that on, you know, unfortunately, it's included. What is it? A&E is one of those channels that it's a reality show. It's a creative. RuPaul said at the Creative Arts Emmys that drag is a way of transcending ourselves and becoming an extension of the power that created the whole universe. Folks, this is the rot being fostered upon us by Hollywood. They celebrate this. Now, this is a political issue. And I'll tell you why it is a political issue, because what are we doing in Oregon? We're celebrating transgenderism. In fact, we're starting to ensconce it in the law. Where does this end? This is the question that I think that is worthy of considering. And as you talk with people, because the whole point of the show is to give you interesting things to think about and say to persuade the persuadable. If they're not persuadable, don't waste your time. Unless, of course, you're in front of other people and you can score some points that might get other people to thinking. Okay, well then fine. But otherwise, if you're one-on-one, don't bother. You're just wasting your time and your energy and end up being a negative. But if you know someone who is persuadable, ask this question. So RuPaul gets an Emmy by saying nonsensical, incredibly weird things. Like being drag is an extension of the power that created the whole universe. I don't think God is drag. I don't think God dresses up. I don't think at all. So, where does it end? How far does this go? First of all, it was homosexuality in being, in fact, thank you, Betty, for the pieces you sent me on the long-term agenda of certain groups of people to make homosexuality accepted. And Hollywood has played a big part in that. So now it's, well, the soap operas, you got gay couples in soap operas, right? Every show has to have a gay person in it. Every sitcom, just about every other show has got to have a gay person. It's Hollywood. If it hasn't happened, and I don't watch Hollywood, maybe some of you do, you know, I don't watch this stuff because I don't like it. I'm not going to give those people any of my money. I'm certainly not going to watch any of their garbage. So maybe they're already putting transgender people in TV shows. My guess is they probably already are. So if that's true, right, what's next? How far does this go? What do I mean by that? So, you know, there's been this move, and we've talked about it, to force you and I to accept the next level of perversion. It's the only way to say it. And that is having sex with underage kids. Remember this long-time organization out of San Francisco called the NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association? These people exist. They've existed for a long time. And they're gaining strength. Is that not possibly where this ends up? Now we start seeing not only the transgender people like RuPaul. I mean, heck, they're reading to our kids in libraries, right? You think that's good? You think that's confusing for kids and their sexuality? Well, I mean, you know, look, if kids want to refer to themselves as it. Yeah. What's next? How far does this go? Do we start celebrating sex with underage children? And when do these people, these advocates, start advocating for changes in law? Now, in Oregon, we have a thing called Measure 11 crimes, right? Including some sex crimes, like having sex with underage kids. You have sex with a 13-year-old, you're going to jail for a long time, as you should. How far does this go? I mean, in Oregon, we celebrate taxpayers paying for surgeries for 15-year-olds to change their sex. And you as a parent don't have to know about it. And you can't object. They have rights to do it. That's what the bureaucrats have said. So what's next? What's next? Does Hollywood start telling us in the cultural rot direction they're headed that maybe having sex with animals is okay? How sick do these people have to become before we do something about it? What would that be? Well, I'll tell you on the other side of the break. It's 648-503-589-1220. The Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Stop the car, we gotta move.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, emails rather, to jeff@1220.am. You know, if you're worried you don't have enough retirement income, you ought to talk to Fred Thompson. He's a New York Life Insurance Company agent. You know why? Because they have some great products that even if you're a little older and you haven't maybe put away enough money and you're a little worried about Social Security, as you should be, well, they can help. He can help. Fred shares your principles and your values. He's a great veteran, served honorably, special forces in Vietnam. He's a good man. He's an honorable man. And he cares about people, and that's why he does what he does. Why don't you give him a call? 503-428-7479. 503-428-7479. So when we went to the break, Let me wrap all of this up very neatly in a bow for you today. So we have this cultural rot that has led us to celebrate, transvestites like RuPaul, who said, "We are all God in drag," Saturday night after winning another Emmy. This is his fourth one, by the way. The cultural rot that says basically anything. Now, what happens when you get to that place? Aren't there some great examples of, like, prior human history? The Roman Empire, the Greeks, Sodom and Gomorrah. Depravity knows no boundaries. So what's next? What's next that you will stand up and fight against? You see, the same extension of people's inability to control themselves and their lusts and their depraved thinking, which I believe comes from Satan. As an evangelical Christian, I'll tell you that. That's clearly what I believe. These people are deceived. RuPaul and people like him that go into our libraries and read in drag to children are really deceived and they need lots of prayer. But it's that same mentality that says that anything goes or that the ends justify the means. Now, who said that? Wasn't that Karl Marx? Joseph Engels? Yeah, the fathers of communism. And we all know how well that's worked out, as it's murdered 100 million people and enslaved and continues to enslave people to this day. It's that way of thinking that should make you a little nervous about this other story. Remember I said I'd wrap it all up nicely in a bow for you? Well, this whole story about Oregon schools now teaching Native American history in Oregon. Do you have any confidence that it won't be done with a politically correct bent to it? I don't, because it's human nature. Because it's human nature that when you have an ideology that you want to ram down people's throat, like Hollywood has been doing for years to us, it's no far stretch of the imagination at all to think that they wouldn't try to do this with a politically correct curriculum. Now, it's the same reason that you should be worried about, well, this sordid affair with Kate Brown and her silence as to why she's trying to figure out how she can mitigate the damage that she's doing to herself by remaining silent, which the Oregon editorial board laid out in their reasoning. And I'm telling you, folks, all of this does not inspire confidence. If Kate Brown is saying publicly, "Hey, I support public transparency," on one hand, and then on the other hand is telling her lawyer to make this independent advocate subservient to me, my employee, and they've got to go through me. That's deception. It inspires no confidence in leadership, but more importantly, in integrity. Now, how do you fight against this stuff? All of it. Hollywood, transvestites reading in your local library to your children, story time. A corrupt governor, because that's what Kate Brown is. Oregon public schools now have to teach this new curriculum that's Native American sensitive. And guess who's designing the curriculum? Oregon Department of Education, which has a history of not being really on the ball. I recall that during the Obama administration, they sent forward that application for a particular federal grant, and it was rejected, and it was rejected in a rather spectacular way. It was heavily criticized by the U.S. Department of Education in very unflattering terms. These same people, with the politically correct governor directing a politically correct director of the Oregon Department of Education, is going to be designing a new curriculum. None of this inspires confidence. So what can we do? Well, the first thing is you don't watch Hollywood TV shows that are garbage, that continue to ram these politically correct ideas down our throats, trying to change society, trying to change our culture. Don't give them the time of day. Do not watch their shows. But when you find out about a show that's going over the line, write to the sponsors, not the show, because the show doesn't care. They're on a mission. You write to the sponsor saying, I'm not going to buy any of your products if you do this anymore. I'm going to tell all my friends not to buy your products. And then you say that on social media. The second thing is you do, if these transvestites and other people like that, other perversions, because again, where does this end? What's next? Because you see, they're never going to be finished. They're never going to be satisfied. So when the transvestites and others come to your library, you know what you should do? Get together some parents and go down and protest. Call the news media ahead of time and YouTube it, video it, put it on Instagram, stand up. Because what it leads to is the acceptance of things like you losing your parental rights. Like, as it is in Oregon already, 15-year-olds can get transgender surgeries. And you can't stop them as a parent, and they can do it without your permission. And the taxpayers get to pay for it. It's happening in Oregon, folks. You stand up against this stuff. You pray. Pray for an awakening in this state. Pray for our leaders, including Kate Brown. As corrupt as she is, she needs help, folks. She really does. Or she needs to be removed from office. And that is your opportunity to get active. It's your right. It's your duty. Sign those recall petitions. Be aware. Stand up for what you believe. Don't back down. Get out there. Make it a great day, folks. It's 6:59. See you tomorrow.